This morning I'd like for us to take our Bible and turn over to the book of Romans today. And we'll begin in chapter number 5 this morning. I want to talk about the resurrection today. Of course, it's Easter Resurrection Sunday. And the resurrection is a God thing. It's what I've titled the message today. The resurrection is a God thing. In that, I'm speaking of the work of the triune Godhead. We had seen earlier today the matter of the tomb, how that the ladies had gone there on that resurrection morn, the day following the Sabbath, which would have been the first day of the week, which we celebrate as Sunday. Why do we not celebrate the Sabbath? There was the end of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day ended, and in the beginning of the week came the resurrection morn. We're not celebrating a grave, but we're celebrating a victory today. And Sunday is the believer's day, which we celebrate the resurrection. And having said that, I've thinking, hopefully you've read through some of the scriptures this week. I've thought about the things of Christ and what he did for us, the suffering. The shame we sang about, the shame that he went through for our sins. And then, of course, the resurrection that followed. It's a lot to grasp when we talk about the resurrection. It's the part of the gospel, the death of Christ, of course, the burial of Christ, and then the resurrection. This is what Paul entitles the gospel. The good news is the death, burial, and resurrection. It's good that Christ died for our sins, but he died to pay for our sins. But had that been it, where would we be? We'd say, thank you, Lord, our sins, sin debts has been canceled. But then he was buried. His body was placed in a tomb. And that, too, is part of the good news, that they put the Savior in the tomb. He aligned with much of the Old Testament prophecy and the Psalms and other places dealing with his body not seeing corruption, David said. No one could have seen that if the tomb hadn't been opened. So we find then the tomb being opened and then the resurrection. He's not in the tomb. And we praise the Lord for that. He has risen. He is risen. I was thinking about Thomas. You remember Thomas was not with the disciples to begin with when the Lord appeared to them that evening. And 8 days later, Thomas was with the disciples, according to John, and Jesus came in, and Jesus, knowing all things, knew what Thomas had said. He would not believe unless he put his finger in the nail print. And the Lord said to him, Thomas, put hither thy finger. And Thomas didn't put his finger there, John said. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. My Adonai, which means master, my master and my Elohim, God, the word God is a plural word. It's not a singular word. Elohim is a plural term. My God is plural. My God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's all three. And I want us to look at this today as we think about the resurrection. What the Holy Spirit did, what the Lord Jesus did, and what Father God did, all three in this matter of this resurrection that you and I celebrate today. I want to give you some verses, three particular places I'm going to look in Acts chapter 10, verse 40. I'll read that. You don't have to turn because we're going to be here in Romans 5 in just a minute. But Acts 10:40 said, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Then Acts chapter 13 and verse number 30, it says again, but God raised him from the dead. God, again as a plural term, Elohim, but we relate that word God to the Father oftentimes. So we could say without a stretch of the scripture that God raised him from the dead. And there are more places, a couple more, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2:14, somewhere along in there. And another one doesn't come to mind right off, but it mentions God raising him. Then remember what Jesus said in John chapter 2 and verse 19. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it. And they destroyed the temple. They did. They beat him. They spit upon him. And he raised himself, we could say. And then we find in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 11 where it says that the Holy Spirit raised the Lord. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, that's reference to the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit raised up Jesus from the dead. So we've got all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that are credited with this matter of the raising of Jesus. And why? That may be the question. Often someone always wants to have a question. Well, why? Why would that take place? And it's for a purpose. It's for a conclusion. I want to read a word that's very familiar to us. But I'm going to read the definition for this word from a couple of places. As we're in Romans 5, we'll begin, if you would, in verse number 6. I'll introduce the word and then we'll go from there. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That word for is used 179 times in the book of Romans. I think this is the most used in the New Testament books. Acts, I think, has the word used 172 times, and I don't remember the number in others, but the point of it is this. And Greek is a language that I learned and supposedly checked off as proficient, but you know if you don't use it, you lose it. And you need to use it. So in language learning, oftentimes you find a word, and for me, I have a picture, a word picture of that word, sometimes with names. How about you? I'll meet someone, and they'll say, well, I'm so-and-so, and I've got to identify them with something. So when I see them next time, I say, oh, yeah, haven't forgot your name. The word for in the Greek is gar. Do you know what a gar is? A gar is this fish that we catch here in the south. Some of them are big. I mean, I've seen them in West Point Lake. You sound like a hog wallowing in the water. I mean, huge. They have many, many bones. They have a very small mouth. It's a gar. So four is a gar. If I say gar, you know four. Okay? That's a quick word to learn in Greek, isn't it? Gar. Four. So according to Strong, this word is a conjunction. A primary particle is properly a particle of affirmation and conclusion. That's what this little word means, for. Spiros Zodiatis says assigning a reason used in an argument, explanation, or intensification. If I'm going to tell you about something and I say for, then I'm aiming at something. It's what we're talking about, denoting, therefore, a truth. And again, therefore, it's emphasizing therefore, a word that we're familiar with oftentimes. We'll say, well, therefore, meaning if this and this and this has occurred, we put some umph behind it, therefore. And this is what we find with this little word. So for, he says in verse 6, when we were yet without strength in due time, he's talking about humanity. Mankind, you and I, we had no strength. We were weak. But we say, but we were strong, Lord. We can do anything. That's the way a lot of people have it today. I can do anything. I've done it myself. Just look what I've built. Just look at all of this. This is me. You're without strength, sir. And we come to this place that in due time, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It's amazing the grace of God. We've said before, dealing with the world and its system today, there's the Gentile, there's the Jew. These are two class of people. You could say, again, someone says, well, there are more than one class of people. You've got the lost and the saved. Yes, this is true. But in both of these classes, there's a third, the church. So we can come from the Gentile, we can come from the Jew, we can be saved, and we can be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we are. today. We're neither a Gentile nor a Jew. We're church. We're the bride of Christ. And how did this happen? It was in a time when we had no strength. We could not save ourselves. There's nothing that we could do, that Christ came at this appointed time. The scripture talks about him being born at an appointed time. I said before, and thinking again, what if Christ had been received of the Jews? Where would you and I be today? But he wasn't. He was rejected, and in his rejection, he offered himself to the world. And the world is everyone. It's not one secluded group of people. So in due time, Christ came. This is what the writer, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration, is telling us. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Then he says in verse number 7, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. For a good man, meaning what? I mean, he may get him some people that would say, well, you know, I would do this, but this is not normal. Then he goes on to say in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, Christ did this for you and for me. He did this for the world, for God so loved the world. And you think about that word for, after what Jesus has said and what he's done, where he's going. He already knows he's going to the cross. In this John chapter 3, Jesus already knows this. He knows what he's doing, but the people have no idea. We even saw that this morning as we had our sunrise service. We talked about this. The disciples, many of them wept. We're not talking about the local, those that were with him, but many of his disciples, followers of the Lord, they wept and they were afraid. They had seen this man. Perhaps they'd seen the miracles. Perhaps they'd been a part of the miracle. But they didn't understand it all. And for God so loved the world, therefore, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because mankind can't do anything to earn salvation. There's nothing that you and I can do. So this resurrection, this the fulfilling of the redemptive work of Christ, the atoning work of Christ. We're talking about, think of it again, the vicarious death. That word vicarious, we don't use it often, but that word means one taking the place of another. It was a vicarious sacrifice. In other words, Christ took our place, your place and mine on the cross. We should have died for our sins because we're all guilty. But he willingly came into this world and he took our sins upon himself on the cross. He shed his precious blood. He covered our sins with his blood. He removed our sins with his blood. And now we're saved and we have no sin. We're still sinners, yes, but positionally we have been declared justified and righteous before God. And we thank the Lord for that today. He goes on to say some of these. For if, in verse number 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, he said, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were enemies to God. We were fighting to God, but yet he broke down that. He took away that enmity. And now he has joined our hand with his hand, with the hand of the Father, by way of the Holy Spirit, by the hearing of his word. And now we're not enemies, but we're friends. We've been reconciled. There's no disharmony between you and I and God. There's no disharmony for the believer, but for the unbeliever, they're still fighting God. They're enemies. But they can come to this saving faith and they can have peace with God. This is what he said. And he goes on to say now in verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, speaking of Adam, if this man Adam offended God and now we've been taken apart, separated from God, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one Jesus Christ. For if this happened in Adam, the first Adam, then, or therefore, in Christ, this can happen. We can be made friends. We can be joined with God. He goes on to say, going into chapter 6, the next chapter. Second thing, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And then he says in verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus were baptized unto his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We've been raised, positionally speaking, to the newness of life in Christ. The old man is done away. There's a new man. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, how do we get in Christ? The Holy Spirit puts us in Christ, and the Holy Spirit puts Christ in us. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All of this enmity against God. And that's amazing, isn't it? Something happens to this person who says there is no God, and they curse God, and they want to fight with him. It's his fault. Whose fault? I thought you didn't believe in God. Well, I don't. I mean, how obvious is it? Some guy's telling me he doesn't believe in God, and then he turns around and tells me, but his mother was a good Christian. And I said, you mean if she were to die, she'd go to heaven? He said, if anybody goes, she would go. I said, I thought you didn't believe in heaven. He said, you can leave now. This is how we think. We think this is rational thinking. Folks, this goes on all the time. See, they got it in their mind. God's against me. I know that there's a God, but I don't want to believe in God. Why? Because you will be accountable for your actions, sir. We all will be accountable. There's a day of judgment that will come on the unbeliever for their works, the Scripture says in Revelation. But you and I, who have been born again, our works, our position has been dealt with in Christ, and now we're a new creature. Now let's look further and turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians this morning. Let's turn, if you would, to chapter number 15. We know what Adam did. He took us away from God, this first Adam, and now we have the second Adam that has brought us back to God and in Christ. He died so that he could bring all of mankind into salvation. And we find that his atoning death satisfied the triune Godhead, where that God raised him, the Holy Spirit raised him, he raised himself. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we find these words in verse number 3. The Apostle Paul, again writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, this therefore has been delivered. It's been delivered to us how that Christ died. How did he die? Well, he died on the cross. He died a horrible death, a death that was prophesied that he would take upon himself. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't that something happened to Christ that he didn't have any idea of. He knew when he came into this world, his purpose was to come. He came to die. He came to suffer. He came to take our place. And Paul said, I received this. He received the revelation from the Lord, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And by the way, beginning in Moses, we saw as he made his way there with those disciples that afternoon, that Sunday evening. They're making their way home. And he began with the Scripture of Moses, and he brought them up to who he was. And he was buried. Again, this is very important. He was put away, sealed in a tomb, held there, captive, if you would, by guards that could state on their life that no one is going to take this body. They had to answer for that. Had they allowed the body to be stolen like the word got out after they'd been paid off? The scripture says this. They were paid off, again, by the religious mob. The religious mob gave them a lot of money to say, someone came and stole his body. Say this. Say that you fell asleep and someone came and stole the body. Because lest the word get out that the tomb is empty, then this lie that he has been preaching, it's going to be so great that nobody can stop it. And here they are knowing all the time that his body is not in the tomb. And nobody had stolen the body. But the depths of sin that man will go to cover his actions. He was buried, and yet he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This four that he's speaking of is more about what Christ has done. Look in verse number 21, Acts 15. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. This is the work of the Lord. Man, of course, death came by man because when Adam sinned, he died. You remember the temptation of Satan coming to Eve, and of course Eve taking the fruit and giving it to her husband. She didn't run Adam down. Adam's standing right there with Eve. Think about it. There's only two people in the world. And where do you think he was? He had gone shopping. No, just two individuals, just two people to converse one with another. And here we are. And he stands and he listens to the serpent who, and she takes and gives to her husband. She takes and runs him down. No, she takes and gives to her husband. And he takes of the fruit. And immediately, boom, he dies spiritually. It's not a process. It happened immediately. It's like when we come into this world, we're born sinners. It's a process of time, isn't it? Do I not have to break the law to become a sinner? No, you're a sinner by birth. You're a sinner by birth. We're sinners by birth. We're not only sinners by birth, but we're sinners by choice. You and I, we choose to sin. Why do we choose to sin? Someone may say because it's our nature. See, we're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by birth. We're lost without God. And this is why Jesus came. He came to die on the cross to pay for our sins. He came to be buried in the tomb to demonstrate being placed in that grave that he's going to come out victorious over this enemy called death. And that's what the resurrection is about. We're celebrating today the victory of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest victory that creation, time, anything has ever seen. It's the resurrection of Christ. And it's not the only resurrection. Thank God, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, one day too we'll be raised. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In verse 22, for as in Adam all die. How many is all? Well, as someone has said, all is all, and that's all it means. Everyone, every person around this world today will die, and then what is the question? Where will we go? What will take place? For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So if we all die in Adam, but yet now we have transferred our faith into the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ, and now we've been born again, never to die, then we'll all be raised according to the scripture. If he was raised, and he was, it's not he was risen, he is risen. It's a present tense. He is risen. He is seated at the right hand of God today. And he is coming soon. He is coming back. He's coming to this world. He's coming for his bride. And he goes on to say, it's a certain order here, but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. See, he's the one who went into heaven first. He raised Lazarus, but Lazarus, he just walked around among the people till he died again. Christ didn't die again. Christ ascended into the heavens. He's seated at the right hand of God. And what he says is afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. He's coming back and he's going to take us to be with him. Praise the Lord. Then we look further in verse number 53. He says, for this corruptible, therefore, we could say, therefore, having said this, for this reason, for this conclusion, for this explanation against any argument, this corruptible, this old body we have is corruptible. It's just kind of going away. You young people, it's coming on, but it's going to get away, you know. We don't want you to be sorrowful, but you got a new body in Christ. Praise the Lord for that. And it will never change. It's never going away, but this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal body must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. We see this. Sin, which is cause for condemnation, and the law pronounces the condemnation. Remember, the law tells you what the charges are. And this sin is the condemnation. But now that's been taken care of. The sting of death is gone. We think about the pain of this body, the pain of sickness, the pain of a broken heart when we see a loved one suffer, the pain that we experience. It's all temporal, really, when you think about it. Sometimes our hearts are broken for the things that we see in this world. Our hearts are broken for those who are lost. There's pain and suffering. But the victory is to know that there's a day coming when this all will come to an end. And you and I, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he said in verse 57, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this victory is in faith in Christ and faith in His coming. Have you seen that? No, we haven't. Do you believe it with all of my heart? With every fiber, with every thought, with everything that we have, we believe in the Word of God that God raised Him from the dead. As we said, when Christ came out of the grave, we too came with Him. When did that occur? Almost 2,000 years ago. You say, well, I wasn't born then. No, you weren't. But you were in the mind of Christ. See, He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows today those who will receive His word and trust Him in faith. He knows those who will reject Him. Does he choose and reject? No. Does He elect some and damn others? No, He does not. His word is for whosoever will. And those who will trust Him, and those who will look to Him, and those who in faith will put their heart and life into His words and receive this free gift of salvation shall have eternal life with victory apart from damnation. And this is what He said in verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a fact. You and I have victory today. You say, well, things aren't going well for me right now. But you have victory. Praise the Lord. This is all temporal, folks. We'd like for it to be victory down here. We can have victory. How can you do that? You can walk in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit and in the joy of the Lord. And Satan cannot take that away from you. You want to give it up? He can't take it. You hold on to that. You say, bless God, I'm a child of God. There's nothing that can come against me that God wouldn't, unless God permits it. And if God permits it, whatever it is, He will give you the grace and strength to go through it. Because He is our God and He's our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. Having said that in verse 57, for, I'm emphasizing this word, therefore, for my beloved brethren, we could say, therefore, the conclusion. The conclusion of this matter is separation from God in Adam. The conclusion of this matter is unity in Christ and faith and hope. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast. Be steadfast in your faith. Be unmovable. Don't waver. Don't be, I'm happy one minute, I'm sad the next. No, we're to stand steadfast in what we know is true. The tomb is empty. He is risen. And we too are going to rise with Him. And we can stand fast in that. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't stop. Don't let the devil stop you from what God is doing in and through you. He's using you. You say, well, I don't see that. Well, sometimes we don't see. We don't understand. We see, I've heard so many people say, you know, that man was a blessing to me. She was a blessing to me. They just don't even know how big of a blessing they were to me. Why? Just because of their faithfulness. Faithfulness to what? Faithfulness to the Lord. You know, there's nothing like a Christian with the glory of the Lord on them. They don't even see it, but God's glory is on them. I was thinking about a man, wouldn't call his name, he doesn't live around here, but if I did, somebody would know him. He always had a smile on his face. A lady told me one day, said, I don't care when you meet him in the road, he's always smiling and waving. And you know it does something to a person, doesn't it? I said before, it's like morning. I like the morning. We had a good morning today, and it's always a good morning. You meet people, say, hey, good morning. How you doing? Good morning. Good morning. Somewhere about 11:30 or so, it all changes. I don't know how it does it, but nobody's happy anymore. They don't say, good afternoon. Good afternoon. How you doing? Good, good. It's just, it kind of just goes off with the morning. We need to, it's good every day. It's good all day. And we need to stand fast. That's what he said. Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What do you mean, preacher? What you're doing for the Lord, standing steadfast in his word, holding on to his promise. You believe the Lord's coming back? Amen. Hold on to that. Let others know, hey, that this thing's not going to be like this forever, folks. One day the Lord's coming back. Are you ready to face the Lord? I'm telling other people, are you ready to face the Lord? Or are there some things that you need to get ready prior to that? Well, I've been thinking about that, preacher. Well, you need to make a decision. Because none of us are promised tomorrow. None of us. We need to be ready. We need to be steadfast and we need to be unmovable. Let's stand together today as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the day that we can rejoice. A day of victory, Lord. Let us take a victory lap today, Lord, in this day. Thanking you again, Lord. You've given us another year to celebrate this victory. And Lord, we pray that you'd use us in the days ahead, that we could have more join in with us. Lord, if you don't come back before next Easter, we'll take another victory lap. And we'll have others, Lord, that we can that come alongside us and be led to the Lord. But today, help us to walk in faith, dear God. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that's never trusted Christ, today's the day of salvation. The Holy Spirit says, come. Jesus says, come. The Father says, come. Come today, receive the free gift of eternal life, and walk in victory. And we'll thank you, Lord, again for all that you do for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.